Okay, welcome to the final of the Poofcast Pub Crawl edition. This week we are going to attempt to answer a letter, a Dear Talking Poofy letter, in the beer garden at the Laird. We will take you to the rimming corner. We'll have some more ammo. We'll go to the circuit, including their sex on premises area upstairs. I know, saucy. And then the whole thing will be tied up with a rancid drunken beau at the Peel. Please enjoy whatever this mess is, our final Poofcast pub crawl. Sorry, it's taken so long.
10 commandments of being a flawless queen.
1, thou shalt not be basic.
Talk poofy to me.
We are in the Laird Beer Garden.
We're in the beer garden because it was too loud inside.
12:57.
Oh my god, 12:57 AM.
We've just walked for 100 years from DT's to the Laird. So like, where's my fucking Order of Australia?
Where's your gold medal?
Where's my gold medal,
James? We need an Olympic medal
for getting from gay bar
DT to
gay bar. To
here.
Alright, so I'm fucking furious. And Polly has a letter.
Alright.
So let's address her question.
Will I be able to hear you reading the letter while I go to the toilet?
Yeah, just say,
yeah,
just
talk loud. It's quite long, it's going to take a while.
Alright. Okay.
Say it really loud.
Polly says, are you going to go to the toilet right? How many times are you going to piss within arm's reach of me tonight?
Oh, God.
This is like,
we might even hear it. It might sound like a Japanese garden.
This is a ruse. Polly says, I am straight, but I've become intrigued.
Well, I'm not interested, Polly. Shut up.
But I've become intrigued with the concept of coming out. Why do gay, lesbian, and bisexual people come out? By this, I don't mean that if you're not straight, you should be living your life in the closet. I'm asking, why not just date whoever you want to date and be done with it? People will work it out. I'm not asking this to be a smartass. It's something I'm generally interested in. I have had a handful of people who are close friends or relatives make a point of telling me they're gay or lesbian or bisexual. They were, without exception, a bit put out at my non-reaction. Is it rude of me not to make a big deal out of this? Am I missing something? In all genuine bi curiosity, Polly. So Polly's asking, no one cares, it's the 21st century.
It's actually a pretty good question.
Just be who you are.
I'm actually surprised that someone wrote into us with actually a pretty good question.
I know.
Thanks, Polly.
Polly, why are you listening to this fucking piece of shit when you're actually an enlightened human being?
Well, look,
I think it's got to do with identity.
I think the first thing is that not everyone is as cool as you, Polly.
Yeah, that's it. If everyone was as cool as you, Polly, then we wouldn't have an issue.
But I think part of it is that we are moving towards that world where it's, you know, it's just who you stick your cock in or get up your jutsa that that is up
to you. Which are medical terms.
Yeah, up your jutsa is a medical term, meaning inside your vagina. I can't say it. But
not everyone is as cool as you.
No.
For some people, it is a big deal.
Yeah.
For some people, they do need to freak out or process it or.
But at the same time, for some people, actually coming to terms with who they are is a big deal.
Yes.
So you kind of owe them.
It's true.
A bit of a reaction in a way.
Oh, no, you don't owe them a reaction at all, I don't think. I think you owe them some.
You have to acknowledge
reverence,
that they've made a big decision.
Yeah, some acknowledgement. But
yeah, you need to acknowledge that, good on you. Well done. Great.
But I think the whole thing, I think what she's saying is like, why should I care one way or the other?
Yeah.
And that is a valid question.
That is a very valid question.
You shouldn't care one way or the other, but society cares. And we are a society of labels, and we're a society that says, what's normal? And apparently what's normal is a man putting his doo-doo in a lady's la-la.
Again,
I can't believe
terms.
Here on the podcast where we have talked about
doo-doo
fisting, I'm saying doo-doo and la-la. But
but also, it does go to what you were saying, Scott, about identity, because and this is something we've talked about, not necessarily on air, but when everything is normal, you gain something because you're normal and you don't have to go through that process, but you lose something because you're not part of a unique community anymore. I think that fags have to accept that they're different, right? Mm-hmm. There are more of them than there are of us. We are different.
We are a different species.
You need to claim it. You need to own it.
We are strange. Like, that doesn't make it bad. and that doesn't make it immoral.
We are the minority.
But we are different. Mm. And any community of difference, whether it's racial difference or religious difference or sexual difference, wants to circle the wagons and define that difference and own that difference.
Yes.
And manage that difference.
Yeah, because so many of us grow up being treated badly because of that difference.
I wish someone would explain this to inner city hipsters. Because they carry on like they're in the majority. And having lived in the suburbs, and there are more...
You're talking about like the Green Left Weekly marriage equality...
You know, the fucking ironic tattooed fuck-fucks that serve you Lubna and espresso in a cafe.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, those bearded freaks.
Most people are not like you.
Fucking dreadlocks. Who treat you like you're some kind of pox on the face of the earth if you're not wearing your ironic horn-rimmed glasses.
Yeah.
And your, you know, skinny leg jeans. It's like, ugh, who are these people? And it's like, do you know who the majority is? The majority is overweight people at Westfield in the outer suburbs.
There is a real reverse snobbery.
Wearing tracksuits. They are the majority.
There is a huge
snobbery. They are the people you should be afraid of, not looking down on. Because if those people decided to mobilise and, you know, French Revolution style, put your fucking bearded heads in a guillotine...
But do you know what? Also,
it would happen. And
you'd
would
be the first
nothing.
Against the wall when the
you
revolution came.
You would be the
came.
First!
But also, like, respect their values.
Yes!
Like, maybe they're right.
Yes!
You can't presume that wearing tracksuits to Westfield is a bad idea.
I'm running on the assumption that it is.
No, it's not. I do it all the time. Right.
You might think it's a bad idea, but maybe it's not. And like, maybe you're the freak.
And it's, you know, this is another thing. Like, because I spend so much time with inner city hipsters, just because I like to drink coffee and they're the only cunts who seem to make it. there's a lot of, you know, I don't know how you can work at Fox FM. How can you listen to that music? Well, I'm gay and call me old fashioned, but the, you know, pumping tunes of Nicki Minaj are right up my gay alley.
You're working, you don't listen to the music.
But it's on.
It's on.
And
but
I don't hate it.
You don't sit there and listen to it.
I know,
well.
But they think I'm inflicted with it and that it's, you know, it's some sort of horrible chore working in a radio station.
But also,
I enjoy my job and I quite like the music.
Listening to Nicki Minaj is not yet compulsory. I think that Campbell Newman has it on his agenda, but at time of writing, it is not yet compulsory. So people are choosing to, so maybe there's something in it. So maybe you should respect that.
Yeah, in a city of 3 million people, 1 million people choose to do that. So that's one in three people.
You don't have to, but if they do...
And I'm pretty sure there's less than one in three people who have a tattoo of a cassette tape.
On their neck.
On their neck.
Yeah.
I guess what we're getting at, Polly, is that some people
are cunts.
Most people, everyone's a cunt.
Yeah, pretty much.
But that it's useful sometimes, and sometimes empowering, to identify yourself as part of a norm.
Absolutely.
And part of a niche. You know, this is a weird analogue, but it's an interesting one. In the deaf community,
yes,
there is a whole thing about, there's a lot of people who are deaf who have learnt to hear. They've got hearing aids or whatever, but they refuse to talk. They would rather talk in sign language than they're able to
because
talk.
Because they're embracing their deaf identity.
They can hear
identity.
And they
and
can
there's
talk,
also
but
the,
they've decided I'm deaf and I'm going to be a deaf person and I'm going to live like a deaf person.
And there's that controversial thing where, you know, they have kids who are born deaf and who could get one of those
bionic ears or whatever,
bionic ears that would mean they would grow up being able to hear.
But they decide.
But their parents are like, no.
Culturally, we're going
to
be deaf.
Our child needs to learn to sign and not hear.
So the analog is that you might be gay and that might be fine and no one gives a flying fuck, but you choose to be overtly or explicitly gay.
You choose to identify yourself
as part of a cultural identity. Who am I? I am gay. Who am I? I'm Greek. I've lived here. I was born here. My parents were born here.
But I'm Christian. I'm...
Exactly.
You know, whatever.
A part of me
I'm
is
I'm a beer
gay.
Drinker.
I'm a, whatever
I'm
it
a
is.
I'm a beer drinker in a cider drinking world.
Oh, my God, Adam, I feel your pain.
I'm gluten intolerant.
Oh, Toby,
I'm
fuck.
Anal.
And this is what alarms me, to tell you the truth, about a lot of the... a lot of the... how would I describe it? At 12, 20... 1:05 in the morning.
Fuck.
That's 12:20.
About like, this sounds pejorative and I don't mean it like this, but militant equalicists is that they risk losing that cultural identity.
Because they want everyone to be the same.
In the rush to make everyone equal and everyone's normal, that you lose...
You lose identity.
You can lose discrimination without losing identity.
Yes.
I think the word normal is the most damaging word
dangerous,
in our language.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's very dangerous.
So dangerous.
Because it implies that anyone who is... not.
It implies conformity.
There's something wrong with them.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Polly, it's about identity politics.
Yes.
It's about marking
yourself as different.
And that has value.
It
doesn't... Difference does not equal necessarily discrimination. Difference is important. Which is really the hub of multiculturalism.
And we should applaud Polly for being completely nonplussed about everyone that's ever come out to her going...
good on her.
I think that's fucking fantastic.
And one
day... that will be the world we live in.
And won't it be wonderful?
We need more Pollies.
It will be amazing.
Yep.
I mean, it'll be a bit bland.
No, but if...
Because there'll be no drag queens in that world.
I would be quite happy if there was a virus release that only killed drag queens. That would not upset me, okay?
No, there would be...
Based on tonight alone, I would not be unhappy.
There would still be men in dresses, but there wouldn't be that flamboyant, annoying drag queen because...
This goes to a secondary question.
Yeah.
Can you have flamboyant difference without discrimination? Can you have the pearl without the dirt and the oyster?
Do you
need that kind of cultural friction to generate... thing that like the byproducts of difference, which are like drag queens or Mardi Gras and
hardcore rappers,
gay
pop? I don't think so.
Can you have rap without racism?
Yeah,
can you have Mardi Gras without?
I don't think so. You can still be gay without homophobia. Like, gay still exists without homophobia.
You can still perform homosexual acts.
Yeah,
but I don't know that you would have a community without homophobia.
Because to an extent...
Because I think the community's falling apart. I think that's why pubs are shutting down, why we went to Commercial Road tonight and there's like two clubs and one of them is full of fat guys with hoodie tops on.
I'm right here.
Because there's...
But because as we become more normal, like...
There's less need for us to ghettoise ourselves and hang out in
our little
clutch.
The community has been defined by difference. So as
the
community's
been defined by... rejection.
But the difference still exists. Like, you know, the fact that we all want to fuck each other.
The difference still exists, but there's no need for us to... You can still fuck each other without having to go and sit in a fucking shithole beer garden.
Yeah, but it
with
helps.
A bunch of other fucking poofters. Like, it's...
That's still the easiest way to fuck each other.
No, it's not. The easiest way to fuck each other is on Grindr.
All right. Mm-hmm.
And you don't need to leave the house for that. Except
no,
for the
not,
the fucking bit.
Well, yeah.
But you don't need to go and mingle
unless you,
with
you
other
know, leave
bits.
The front door open and just lie on your bed.
Well, that's how Wiz has sex.
Yeah.
But do you think... All right. Controversy corner.
Yeah.
Do you think... And I could just be riding my own hobby horse here. But do you think that the whole marriage equality thing is the result of as everything becomes more normal and it becomes more okay to be gay, that people are getting uptight about marriage equality, just trying to exploit... whatever is left of difference to try and generate community?
I think it's like...
But as we're no longer defined by illegal sexual acts, we're no longer defined by raiding bars, are we trying to define ourselves by not being able to be married?
But I would agree with you if the aim of that was not something that would kind of normalise us, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, the aim of marriage... But I think it is a double-edged sword. It's like, well, by... saying yes, we want to have equality in marriage, we also say we don't really want to hang out in bars together anymore. We don't really want to be different.
We want to be so normal.
So we are.
See, I still think the hanging out in bars will still happen.
It'll still happen, but look at tonight. Look at what we found tonight.
Yeah.
When you used to go to South Yarra, when you used to go to Paran,
it won't have the same.
In the
power.
Old days, it was like it was. You know, the word heaving was not used unrealistically. When I used to work in a bar, I remember carrying two slabs of Carlton cold, because that's all the fucking books would drink, up a flight
carb.
Of stairs every half an hour. And they would have been lucky to sell
four.
A dozen stubbies in an hour tonight at that bar at 10 o'clock. Like, it was... And they were, everyone was cleared out of there by one.
But I think maybe we need to look at the difference between being, like, oppressed and being a minority.
There is a difference.
There is a very big difference. But I think, you know, we're not obviously different. There's no skin tone that sets us apart. There's no, you know, we don't have horns.
You can't tell.
Yeah. So,
although in your case, you can make a pretty good guess.
Yeah. You can fucking see it
clearly,
from space.
Which is why I get people writing letters to me in my fucking letterbox.
Right.
But you know, there's no obvious sign that says,
yeah.
Oh, he's one of those.
He's a daffodil.
So it's
he's a daffodil.
So yeah, I think there will come a time where being gay is just the same as being Presbyterian. And no one will give two shits about it. And there will be no pubs. And there will be no clubs. And the life we live will be gone. It will be scattered to the wind. Like
there will still be soreness.
Yeah, that'll still happen. But that's not a social thing. You don't hang out and chat at those places. No. And the people who do should be shot. Because they're really fucking annoying.
And that'll be great for the kids. It'll be great for the kids that grow up in that environment.
Yeah.
But for people like us who are caught in the changes,
yeah,
I will regret that.
We're living in a time of change, and it's
well.
And look at the you know, we went to the South Side, which is traditionally full of young people.
Yes,
and yes, there are young people there, and there's a handful. And then we come over this side of town where there's people our age, and there's thousands.
There's a million of them.
They're like really fucking busy on this side of town because
been really telling, hasn't it?
Because we're
the ones hanging on to.
Well, this is all we understand.
Yeah,
we're like Judy Garland at Carnegie.
Oh, exactly.
Oh, Penny, we have talked way too long about your letter.
We're just as drunk as Judy was. Yeah.
But thank you so much. And yes, the reason people come out are manifold. And I don't think we've answered anything, really.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
We've talked a lot of shit.
We won't be able to use any of this.
And I hate your ass face! Talk poofy to me. Dateline 120 AM, we're in a particular corner of the beer garden of Lair.
A special corner.
The rimming corner.
The rimming
corner. No, it's known as the rimming corner. It's because the last time we were here, we did a podcast record and we ended up at the Lair.
This one time at band camp.
And we were all having a chat and we turned around and...
No. We were introduced to someone.
We were introduced to someone
who was completely naked.
Big fan of the Puffcast.
Yes.
So this is Brent. He loves the Puffcast. He thinks it's fantastic. He's especially in love with Grunty. And
so far, so good.
And it was
pretty standard.
Pointed out
he was fucking nude.
He was nude.
It was pointed out that Toby does Grunty, and he like he didn't look nude at first because he had like a harness on, like one of those
leather
harnesses,
strap things.
And I was like, oh yeah, he's wearing a harness, so of course he's. Oh no, he's not wearing pants.
He's not wearing pants at all. Nothing.
Total Humphrey.
Yeah.
Yep. And so we had a chat to him for a little while, and standing around.
And his ridiculous penis,
which was poking out.
Needed to be.
Yeah.
Disconcerting, frankly. Yeah. And then at a certain point in the conversation, we turned around and looked over our shoulder, and he was here in this corner where we're standing right now.
Yes. And we were just on the other side of this bench here.
We're on the other side of a divider, and we turned around, and he's just rimming someone.
The
fun thing about it was that he was rimming someone, and then he turned around, looked at us, saw that we were watching, stuck his tongue out and went,
like V the series.
Yeah, with his like bum tongue.
Do you know the thing that horrifies me?
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that I've done a lot of soul searching about. Was the rimming going on before we met him?
Yeah, I think it might have been.
I don't think that's something you just bust out.
This is something that might actually upset you if I say it out loud.
It might upset Toby.
Are we so self-obsessed that we had no concept that rimming was happening right next to us because we were talking about ourselves the entire time and did not look outside our little circle
I think it only happened that one time, but maybe it had happened. The thing that upsets me is that maybe it had happened before we arrived and then he all kissed us hello.
Oh, he kissed us with bum tongue.
Bum tongue. Totally bum tongue.
No, I just remember Wes being particularly horrified by the whole experience.
Well, I just remember Toby turning into a pillar of salt.
It was confronting. It was certainly quite confronting.
Seeing someone get rimmed in the bar.
But I also feel that the poor chap on the receiving end of that particular telephone call. Like, imagine that.
Yeah.
It's one thing to go to a bar and just rim someone, but I think it's an entirely different proposition to get rimmed.
Well, I saw
the guy getting rimmed was like a 20 something.
Yeah, I saw the whole thing. I saw the whole setup, and the guy getting rimmed was actually bending over trying to find something in his bag. And he just whooped in there, and clearly it had been happening for a while. And
if he was bending over to get something in his bag, why was his anus on display?
Because he was naked too.
Right.
Right.
So the rimming was consensual.
I think it was.
Some level.
Well, yeah, I think there was a certain amount of pushing back. Whilst it was happening.
You're thinking about it too much.
Oh, I have thought about it too much.
The other thing, and this is what's great about the Laird, is that I was pretty much the only one who was appalled.
Yes.
Everybody else took this.
Everybody else looked across and went, oh, finally.
You know how horrified Toby was? He dropped a bottle of Amel.
Yes.
and you
totally dasseloaded.
And then
I did.
And then we stood in the Amel stink and went, Speaking of, should we have some more now?
Yes. Yeah, let's have some Amel.
That would be a great idea. As soon as you said Amel.
Yeah, I know. I got the taste.
Gurning.
I love getting the taste of that.
So we're having Amel in the rimming corner. Welcome.
In the rimming corner.
To the talking poofy world.
It is a fun world after.
It's not a fun world.
Oh God, I sniffed too hard.
Don't do it through your mouth. Don't sniff too hard.
I just did a little bit in the mouth. Just a little.
No,
I didn't do it all in the mouth. The rimming corner. It should have a song, the rimming corner.
We should what?
The rimming corner should have a song.
The rimming corner. It'll be like the Collingwood Football Club song. Like, it'll be a rousing chorus.
Good old rimming forever. They know how to rim the game.
What flaps?
Oh, God. Oh.
This is the worst.
Very bad people.
Oh my God. Santa Maria.
Oh God. Okay.
It's fine. This is the kind of edgy quality broadcasting.
Oh my God. We've totally become PBS.
This is the fucking truth. We're broadcasting the fucking truth of life.
Standing in the rimming corner of the ledge.
This is what life is, man.
We're broadcasting three drunk hoofters. Hoofing Amel and then giggling uncontrollably at the Collingwood theme song.
That's fucking true.
That's going to be a bumper. That one.
That is fucking the truth of life.
So chins up, boobs out, it's showtime.
Talk poofy to me.
And going out on the north side is great if you want to have a great time, meet heaps of people and freeze your fucking testicles off.
Yeah, because you can't get a cab and spend $400
everything's
on
miles from each other.
Yeah.
Like you're walking from Vladivostok to Moscow.
Oh, no. We are walking up the hill from the... Well, we just walked past the Peel.
It's like we're taking the fucking GAN.
We've walked from the Laird, past the Peel, and then we're going to the circuit.
The Peel,
and it's uphill.
The Peel's divided their queue into hot and not hot.
Yeah.
And by not hot, we mean ladies and fat men.
And we know when we're beat.
Which is why we didn't want to line up.
No.
So we're going to the circuit.
Which is 100 kilometres away.
It's like one block.
Wow. We just did Amel on a traffic island
in the middle of Hoddle Street.
Because we were waiting for the lights to change and it was a bit boring.
Yeah.
So we thought,
how are we going to feel
bust
this?
Bust out the ylang
moment?
Ylang.
Yeah. The ylang ylang.
Ylang ylang.
Anyway, 0 degrees Fahrenheit.
We just walked past people having a conversation outside Club 80.
Yeah. So how many cocks did you suck? Oh, 45.
About 45. Oh my god, I had so many cars.
So
noisy. Hey, Sonny.
Oh. Anyway, this is all of a sudden less of a pub crawl and more of a test of strength.
Yeah.
I can't go up this hill anymore. Why are you two cunts walking so fast? Is there a...
We're here, should be a trolley. We're here now.
Like clang, 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 went there.
Like a funicular.
Like at the, like at the airport for your luggage.
Yes.
There needs to be something for...
There should be a travelator between Circuit and Peel.
There should be.
That would be sensible.
It makes things so much easier.
Another failure of the Baillieu government. When will the cronyism end? There's no sugarcoating it. It's the fag end of the podcast.
It is the fag end. We haven't been to the Peel yet, though.
No, no.
That's what everyone's looking forward to.
That's the headline act, isn't it?
You know, by the time we get to the Peel, we're not going to make any sense. Like, we're barely
making
sense.
That's like a normal night at the Peel for us, though.
A normal night at the Peel is walking into the Peel, spending 5 minutes getting a drink, spending another 5 minutes going, fuck, I'm at the Peel. And then going home. I've never been at the Peel longer than about 15 minutes in total.
No.
Before I realise I'm
generally
at the Peel.
Quite normal.
And have to get out of there quick.
Yeah, hello.
Hi.
Can I just come inside?
Alright, we're at the Circuit. It's very loud.
You're at the Circuit.
How are you going this way?
Just going
this way. Oh. Is it my show?
Okay.
What are we having?
Who knows what dreadful creatures inhabit the reaches of this galaxy?
Talk poofy to me.
Is this a fetish chair? Am I sitting in a fetish chair?
I think you are. I think I've been here before. Where we are right now is Dateline 2, 16 a.m.
Is it 2 o'clock? No wonder I'm so tired. I normally get up at 4.
We are upstairs at Circus.
Yeah,
at the Cruise Lounge / Fuck Club
/. Scott Brennan's Guatemalan Sinkhole Parade
/ Scott Brennan's email address.
Yeah,
and
he's 12.
He's 12.
So...
Am I sitting in a fetish chair?
I think you might be. Yeah,
the last time I saw that chair, I came upstairs to deliver Scott Brennan his bag after we've been minding it for about 45 minutes.
Right.
And I remember this very clearly. There was a young man sitting in this chair having his pubes shaved.
Right.
Oh.
While Scott sat opposite him, heckling him. Scott was yelling
That's
at
right.
him.
That's right.
Go on, shave it all off.
There you go.
What about this dude hanging on the wall with his chains on?
No, I haven't seen him before.
Right. No. Well, shall we go through and through the hanging kind of black plastic
strips. So we're
going
through the fly strips.
The fish and chip shop fly strips.
And good, we've just walked past the homeless dude.
So this is the part of the venue where downstairs is the bar, but upstairs...
Okay, it worries me that there's a whole bunch of lube been used in here, but no condoms.
Oh, yes. So this is the cruise
area.
It's
a cruise lounge.
It's
a room full of... little chipboard cubicles and...
With a couch in it, if they're lucky.
Yes, and...
There is a weird, pew here.
Yeah, there's like a church pew.
Church pew, which is very exciting. G'day.
And bizarrely, they've let us in here to...
Just wander around.
Well, yes,
it's quite the maze.
It is quite a maze up here.
She's quite a maze. I think she'd give me quite a good dicky.
You a good dicky. Although I've saw her dancing before, I don't know if she's entirely coordinated.
So the plan is at Circuit, you go downstairs and...
I want to talk into the microphone through a glory hole.
Oh, what? So if I have to go in this cubicle, where's the hole?
Hi, so I'm talking to you through a glory hole.
Right.
It's
quite awkward. There's
someone. I just stuck my fingers in.
No,
I thought it was a penis.
There's someone right next to me getting sucked off. I probably should. I can't stand here. It's really awkward. Oh, I can hear the suction. Oh, it's awful.
I was kidding. Can I hear it?
Oh, I had to get away. I could hear like it was like a baby feeding.
Let's walk away really quickly. This is freaking me out. So now I get why you came upstairs all the time, Scott.
It's great. It's like Narnia.
What? Mr. Tumnus getting bumped off on the lamp?
Hello. not a great deal happening up here.
Well, all the doors are shut. Is that normal?
Really?
Well, that would suggest that it's very busy, but the chap at the door said that it wasn't very busy.
Is anyone in a condom?
I forgot. There are little kind of tubs with condoms and lube all over the place here.
Well, no, there's just condoms. I haven't found any lube yet.
Oh, really?
This basket's empty.
Okay, let's go into the porn cinema.
Oh, there's a cinema.
Yes.
Oh, I love a cinema.
Let's go in here. This is going to be awkward. We probably can't talk in here.
All right.
Cece feels things deeply. Cece is a deeply feeling person.
Talk poofy to me.
That is Circuit crossed off the list.
Like every other time I've been upstairs to Circuit, that was a massive anticlimax. Well, then why do you spend so fucking long up there and leave us with your bag?
Because I'm seeking the climax.
So you know what this means? It's time for the headline act.
There we go.
Club 80. No, the pier.
We have completed the gay bar crawl. We have one left. One more Pokemon.
We've got to get them all.
And it's the big one, girls. It's number one.
It is.
Melbourne Gay Town is the PEL.
Or as we used to call it when I was a child, the copper feel.
As you said, have said in the past, Adam, no one goes to the peel. One ends up at the peel.
Yes.
And lo, so it is true. At Dateline, 2:24 a.m.
Oh, yes. Jesus Christ. Why are we still awake?
We started at 7. That means this is our 8th hour.
This is like a normal podcast recording.
Yeah, we are nothing if not committed.
A full work day of pub crawling.
Yeah.
And we are having our office knockoffs.
Do you know the worst thing about this pub crawl? Is wrestling Scott away from various other distractions.
Really?
He has been
like
fine.
Dancing?
He
no,
has been
the
fine.
Drag queen and the tumbler of whatever it was that she was trying to get you to drink.
Oh, it's just the cost of doing business.
Well, we basically had to crowbar Toby away from that weird woman.
That is true. Me and Taryn with our special bond.
Stop saying still, special bond.
I'm yeah, still it's really creepy, concerned Toby. About a VCE fashion cat.
She's not doing a VCE fashion cat. You made that up.
Smack her in the face with the bottle and Facebook her tomorrow.
On the train back to Craigieburn.
Why Toby would be on the train to Craigieburn, only heaven knows.
Only heaven.
Look, it's been an extraordinary night.
It has been.
Highs and lows and Amel on Traffic Island.
The Traffic Island Amel extravaganza is my favourite.
I think that's the highlight of the night, really.
I agree, actually.
I think number one was doing Amel on a Traffic Island. Because, you know, when you're a young boy, growing up in suburbia, you never dream that you're going to reach the heights.
You never dream that you will hit those heights.
Snorting vaso. What is it? Vaso constrictor or whatever. Drugs on a traffic control device.
In the middle of Waddle Street.
On Melbourne's busiest road.
I'll never be able to drive past there again without.
I love how you say drive dilating. Like you do it.
Ah, well, I get taxis. It happens.
Have you? Well, how's all that going? If you're driving, have you stopped?
I've stopped. I did take a few lessons, and it turns out to be quite difficult. So fuck that.
Oh, it's not that hard.
Yeah, but everything I do is within 30 minutes of walking distance anyway. So
yeah, I know. I've discovered that since I moved near a train station, I don't use my car at all.
Yeah,
anymore.
You don't need it. And you get to walk everywhere, which means you get to eat whatever chips you want. So. come see, come sir. Life is a circle, whatever.
Yeah. In the circle.
The point is that this podcast is coming to a Gotterdammerung. a great climax, the closing of the circle, is attending the Sir Robert Peel.
It's really sad that the pinnacle of what we've been doing all night is this fucking rancid shithole.
You know, I want to presage it by saying that this visit to the Peel will go like every other visit to the Peel, which is 20 minutes before you realise that, oh shit, I'm at the Peel.
We've had enough. So, we're here at the Peel.
We're at the Peel.
We're at the end of the road.
I know people have been dreaming of us doing a show from the pier for some time, and it's more tedious than we could possibly have explained.
But everything about it is hard. Getting in is hard.
Getting in is awful.
Getting from the front door to the back room is hard.
Because we got told to cloak our bags and we couldn't be bothered waiting, so we just didn't.
We're mavericks.
Yeah. Cloak your bags, but we've got 0.5 of a twink working in the cloakroom.
It's such a grunty move, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
It's so grunty. You have to.
It's $45 to cloak a bag here.
And you have to.
And you have to. In fact, you have to cloak two bags. If you didn't bring two bags, you need to go and buy a bag.
Yeah.
And I happen to have a fucking bag store here, you fucking lesbians. Buy a fucking bag.
I'm just selling the ones that have been left behind.
All right, so this is...
All right, girls, can I just ask? Now, this is something my mother used to say. Am I as fat as that man?
No, oh my God. If you taped all of us together, we would not be as fat as that man. That man is immensely fat.
He's really big, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's kind of glandular fat.
Yeah.
Do you reckon there's like a bum hole in there somewhere? Or a
I just thought of a great drag name. Angela Fever.
Angela Fever.
All right, so this is gay bar number 9 on the crawl.
This is our final, yeah, number 9.
Number 9. So I've been to 9 gay bars, every gay bar in Melbourne. It's open on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
As listed in the McFuckering Community News.
Community newspaper.
If you had to pick one where you would spend all night, you can only go to one gay bar all night, where would you go to?
I'd either pick the DTs or the Laird.
Yeah, I'd either pick DTs or Laird.
I'm very tempted by DTs. That was a lot of good fun.
Yep.
But I do you know what? Dull had such charms for me.
No, I could not put up with those fucking teenage bitches ever again.
Do you think the novelty would wear off fairly quickly?
It wore off while we were there.
Can I quote you when we ordered our second round of drinks?
Yes.
$5 a beer is too high a price to pay for this shit.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. That is true. Well, in that case, I'd pick DTs. Because that seems to be the nice median point between novelty and familiarity.
Yeah,
I would agree with that.
I think the reason I like the Laird more is because there's no drag queens. And there's no annoying fucking drag show.
But it's just everyone you've ever met before.
Oh, yeah, again. But you know, if you got, like, as you pointed out, if you got a DT 3 weeks in a row, it will be the same fucking 15 people. Though.
But I want to go out, hang out with my friends, have a drink, have a chat. I don't want to be pummeled by teenage freaks.
But
I don't
want to
be overpowered. My boyfriend. I don't want to be overpowered by
single
drag shows. I don't want fucking laser lights and techno music
If you're single, the Laird is the worst place to go.
Yeah, I know.
You will not meet any new friends at Laird.
No, I know. Where will I meet new friends?
Grindr.
No, people my size don't meet new friends on Grindr. And if they meet new people on Grindr, they're not friends.
Sure.
In fact, there was some 21-year-old kid who wanted to have sex with me. I was like, dude, I just got out of a relationship. It's not a great time. And he's like, his friend messaged me after this. He's blocked you because you've just been so cruel to him. I'm like, what? That I said, it's not a great time for me because I just got out of a relationship.
That is so cruel.
Being 21 is a full-time job.
Jesus Christ. Not that I wanted to have sex with a 21-year-old. I was trying to let him down gently. If I was being an asshole, I go, not with you, little baby kid.
Yeah.
Do you know what the Peel feels like
I'm not
to
Andy
me?
Muir.
The Peel always feels to me like you're at a work function.
Yes!
Like you hang out in the corner with the people you work with and you kind of feel an obligation to mingle. Like you should probably go and talk to some other people, but it's a bit of a chore.
Yeah.
You don't really know them.
And on the whole, enough people have seen me, I'm going to go home now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You put your head in, you've shown your face.
Yeah.
Well, should we have our shot before I turn this off?
Turn it off.
No shot?
It's time to turn it off.
I don't really feel like a shot.
I think I might spontaneously combust.
There's nothing more to add. We're gay and we go to pubs and we've crawled and that's the end of that.
Thanks for coming on the podcast, Pub Crawl.
I can't believe I'm still speaking at this point.
Maybe we're not.
Whatever noise we're making, it might not actually be speaking.
Well, that was the final in the Poofcast Pub Crawl edition. Thanks so much for putting up with us for so long. We're going to take a short break, a week or two, and then we will be back with a brand new Poofcast. Look, we're shaking things up a little bit format-wise. We'll have a few little different things. I mean, we'll still have a lot of the old shit, like Wes talking for 10 minutes about nothing. Mother Horan's got some lovely poof stories in store for you. Our sexpert, Colin Petruni, will be with us. It'll be fun. Stick around. We'll be back in about a fortnight.